All right. So we have changed the title from Studies in Christ to In Christ Warfare. I'm using a low voice. In Christ Warfare. That's for the enemy to hear and our hearts to hear too. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for weakness. We thank you for barrenness. We thank you for the fact that we are not, but we were taken out of you. We thank you for the things of your heart, the things that are real, the things that your word, the word of your heart, and the word of your reality declare. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for a door in to victory called oneness through your death. We thank you. We thank you for everything that's running around in the basement of our soul right now. That's not who we are. Thank you that we're one with your son based on his death. Thank you. We thank you for everything up in the attic that's flying around. We don't want to self-deceive. We don't want to justify. We want to identify with Jesus. Thank you that we can, because he died. Thank you for things that open realms of victory to us that are utterly locked apart from being in Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, may the dead bones live based on the truth of your death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would take this time tonight, and that it would be something out of your heart and out of your realm, out of your reality. And it would translate into us in real time, in real crises, in real situations where we are usually and typically completely undone and overcome and defeated. Lord, that there would be new steps to have before us to walk in you and through you in ways that will lift us up out of old ruts and old issues. Things that kept us captive to our flesh and old identity. Lord, thank you. We open our hearts now, Lord. Today is a new day. It's the first day of forever for us. We want it to be filled with your heart and the things that you have equipped us with to be with you in the days to come. So thank you and have your way tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. My next question is, where's Marcia? Marcia. I'm just calling to her in the spirit. She needs to be here right now. I'm going to say, instead of praying, you're going to listen to tonight's class. This is what we would have prayed. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. I want to mention, you know, this is a lovely device here. I feel like I was at the eye doctor today, and I do want to say it looked just like this. Just like this thing. Hi, guys. It's this, not you. I do want to say that as the Lord began to kind of just change the direction of how... There she is. Hi, Marcia. Change the direction of how we're going to do this class. It's going to be a heart learning in Christ, you know, basic class. Extravaganza. Amen. Yes. And then y'all, just so hungry and on fire, just changed everything. So what's the Jesus to do? Holy Spirit says, I ain't going to talk about the information about being in Christ. We're going to do the thing. We're going to get down the road. Let's do this. So I tend to try to just get out of the way, and then he can do his thing, and I can just stay out of the way. And that always proves best for everybody involved. So that's what I want to do. I want to get out of the way. I want to let the Holy Spirit do what's in his heart based on what's obviously in y'all's heart. And I feel like that's bringing some in Christ warfare. Now, in Christ, we usually do this really passive. You know, it shouldn't be. But many times it's approached as, you know, I don't know how many people, and I start pulling my hair out when I hear this. They talk about in Christ, and they're like, thank you, Lord, for giving me rest. the peaceful rest of being, and I want to fall asleep there and never get up again because I'm so completely, you know, I'm so completely unresponsive and I have no part in this. It's simply all you. And it is, but my Lord, it's about union. We have a part in this. It isn't, it's just like, you know, we were discussing. It isn't us making it happen, but there is a heart here, and that can activate the dynamite of this reality in such a way. No, you're fine. In such a, and I'll probably move up in a minute, so that's because I'm going to be reading. So, yeah, all right. Sorry, guys. So that's going to change things. It changes things. Isn't there a scripture that faith works by what? Passivity? Faith works by passivity. So the more passive you are, the deeper into the deep, deep rest of your flesh, the greater this thing's going to be, the more power, the more the enemy's going to be frightened. Fall asleep, Jason, fall asleep. God bless that. Beloved, he gives you rest. We can misquote scriptures. We can just use it all for our own happiness. But no, that's not God. That's not what's, you know, there's no fire in our bones. Where's the passion? Man, where's the coals that are lit? Why does in Christ have to be the one quote-unquote doctrine that gets left out in the rain with the lazies? Why can't the ones who just are all the way carry it straight into the land? Yeah, I'm bringing in Christ in all the way. And I'm going to plant a tree of life called in Christ. And it's going to bring forth fruit, and it's going to heal the nations. It's not just going to, I'm not going to just stay on the other side of the Jordan with my big old oak tree. Come all ye carnal, all ye who want an excuse to not conform to the image of Christ, and I will give thee rest. I will give thee shade to your horrific flesh that Jesus died for, and I will make you feel spiritual. So come unto me, all ye who labor. Don't labor to enter into his rest. Come on into my rest, where you can stay forever unchanged and yet at peace with it. Praise the Lord. No, no, no. I think we should all just stand up and say no, no, no in our spirits. And no, no, no. Put that under, that's, you know, that I want to say that's stepping on the devil's head there, putting him under our feet. That is not the spirit. In my humble opinion, which should be more humble, I feel, at this moment, but of what really being in Christ is. I mean, if he died with such deep passion and utter selfless giving to bring us there, can't we at least be there in the same spirit and love? I say yes. I say yes. And so in Christ warfare, yeah, we're gonna redeem this. Unto the Lamb and by the Lamb. Now, having said all that, usually the warfare that's involved at this stage of the journey more has to do with us receiving abundance of grace and the finished work of his death more than any fruit that we can really prove. A lot of the warfare that we're going to talk about right now has to do with the basis of what he did through his death when he made us one, when we were at the absolute worst in our condition, or it never changes, but it's so beautifully seen there. So we're not moving from that wonder and awe of his love and his finished work, but we're going to take it in a spirit that's going to grab hold and be with him in like heart. Now, once I received from the Lord, from the Spirit, from y'all, from Deb, from leadership, what this class was going to be, that's and some feedback that I got from last class from some of y'all. That's when I decided in my heart. Well, I didn't decide in my heart. The Spirit said this, asked me, submitted this to me in his way. And I said, oh, absolutely, I'm with you. And that is that when I first came to the Lord and to this place, you know, I still am. And I'll never change in my heart from that place of just utter need. But desperation, awful. It's not about looking at how bad we are or were. It's not about that. But I was, you know, a nightmare child of the flesh and the enemy, pretty much hopeless. And it was bad. And I mean, it still is. If it's not Jesus. I'm not trying to. But I am. There's a point behind my comment, and it's not all about me or being bad or looking at our flesh. It's about this one angle, and that is that because I was extremely desperate and pretty much couldn't make it, the Lord moved, and he moved to give me special counseling, and it wasn't special. We were all getting it, but I had a double dose to get a little more oomph because I was going to not make it. So the Lord's grace and care was there for me, and I received abundance of grace and abundance of care and was given certain things through counseling, through teaching, through the word of the Lord in the Bible school that saved my life. And when I went back to the Lord about what his heart was for this class this semester, he said, share the things that saved your life. Don't share the things that you know or the things that you... Don't come as the least of the least who someone just threw a big old life, you know, boat buoy out to you and you're drowning and it brought you into the ship of Christ and saved you. And take that same grace and throw it to others as the person who's desperate still. Do you know what I mean? In that heart. And I do want to say, and I did submit this to Randy as the pastor of this church, and he said yes. And I want to say that much of what I'll be sharing was given from him, through him, as a pastor. And so you're not just listening to Kelly when I share those things. Those things are coming from pastor. Those are things that were given from leadership to help the desperate sheep. So this isn't Kelly's stuff. A lot of this isn't Kelly's stuff. It's flowing down from leadership, which is flowing down from the Lord, which is flowing down from the good shepherd himself to help a sheep that was about to get cut off. Okay, so these are the things that I have heard from the Lord and how he wants his class to go. And that's where we're going. Amen? Amen. So one thing that was extremely helpful, helpful is a really silly word, life-saving, life-changing, foundation-laying, earth-moving, and Christ-forming, was something that Randy shared in, we call it the Bride Series. It's Christ's Life Manual number 7 now. It wasn't a Christ's Life Manual back when I heard it. It was life out of death. It was God's saving grace in his crucified son. It was keys opening up prison bars that were the size of this room. It was the word of life and the word of the heart of God. And it came to me on the wings of a dove through leadership poured out beyond measure by dying for the ungodly. Okay, so it wasn't a manual that I read. He saved my life. Okay? And every word, every sentence is that to me. But one of the chapters is the bride and surgery. The bride and surgery. And some of the things that we just prayed at the end of this last class, which those watching in the future won't know, but that's okay because we're going to be looking at the very things here, have to do about our oneness and the things that were in his heart. And I think the things that always saved me had to do with his heart. Remember last class when I said, if I won't do it for me, I'll do it for him. And when he said, you are my body, that changed everything for me because now I had to do it for him in relation to me. Because if I truly believe that I'm a member of the body of Christ based on Jesus' death and me being born again into him, then I can't be relating to myself as me anymore. I can't do that and say I believe in the cross of Christ. No matter how off I am and how much I hate what I'm seeing here, I still have to look at this as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh because that's what he said. And that's the thing that principle, and these are things that were taught to me in my classes, in the crises, in the manuals that God gave. You see what I'm saying? These were things passed down to me. I call this our heritage, our legacy. These are the things that the Lord has given this church to help people get Christ formed in them, past all the craziness that is us. So you might say, well, I don't like that Kelly's sharing it. Well, you know what? That's sad, because that's your flesh. If you can't get past me to get to Jesus, good luck getting past the devil to get there. You know, I'm not my biggest fan either, but you know what? It ain't about me. It's about Jesus. And if I have something that's from him, I am a donkey and I am the least and I need everything I'm saying, but I just hope you can get past me to get to him. Because I think he has some stuff that's going to really help us, including me. So come on in. The water's fine. It's the water that's fine, right? Let's go there together. I'm going in myself all the way. I'm going to dunk. I've been baptized more times than I can count. I'm going to be baptized again. I'm getting in the water. I'm going down. All the way in, fresh living reality about being in Christ. So that principle about being in Christ and those warfare tactics always started activating when I started to see what was in
God's heart. Because there has to be a final authority that is greater than me. I mean, I'm just breaking it down. I can't see Marcia, but we all need to look at each other in this one together. There has to be a final authority that's greater than me in my reality. Now, I'm talking to myself. I'm really speaking now the way I speak to myself in crisis. So if it's not towards anyone here, I want to promise you that, okay? I'm under the hand of God to speak what was spoken and what was dealt with and how I dealt with me. So I'm doing it in that personal way right now. It's personal. It's not personal. It's personal. But I feel like if I'm real to what my experience was, it will be real to anyone who may be here for that, you know, receiving of that same spirit. So that's fine in a class when you hear, you know, the word of God is true and I believe the doctrine of being in Christ and I'm... But we're talking about our reality of what we experience in our messed up beings and fruitless, barren existence at times. And oftentimes the enemy getting in there and making it 10 times worse. And then believing that doctrine, there's got to be more than just, it's true, I agree with that, sounds right, I really like, do you know what I'm saying? There has to be a higher point of contact than just doctrinal agreement when you're being ravaged by the enemy and overwhelmed by your flesh. Because your mind can't even, if all of your doctrines are coming from your mind, you can't even agree. Sometimes you don't even feel like you believe it because if it's in your mind can be like clamped down. How many of you have ever had the clamp down come? And you're just like, I don't even know what I believe anymore because you're coming from here. And you're like, I can't even remember how that goes. And then what comes up from down here? Shame. Then you feel ashamed and then you don't want to tell him, how could I even confess to be a Christian and then struggle with not even believing or knowing how to receive the basics of the cross? So how messed up can I be? And then you try to get a couple fig leaves at Walmart to just make it through the week. And by the end of the week, you're so stressed out because now your flesh is just utterly in control. But it's in control in the like cellar of your being where the rats are. And you're just, now if you open your mouth, good luck. It's not just bad breath, it's bad Adam coming out. Because he's just been just fuming under the surface because you don't know how to deal with all this stuff. You feel like you're on your own and all you've got to work with is a messed up mind and all these crazy things going on deep inside your soul that are not Jesus at this point. Where do I stand? How do I move forward on any level without faking it? And I'm trying to be just bottom line real here. How do I do that? You got to go to something higher than I. And it cannot be a doctrine. Just everybody say, not be a doctrine. Not be a doctrine. Say it with a Jewish accent. Not be a doctrine. No, 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 it won't work. It won't work. I'll never forget there was a Christmas. How many people see the flesh rise when you're around your family in ways that no one else, anywhere else in the whole wide world can bring up? It's the acid test of how much Jesus is truly formed in you. And you go home, Christmas, a time of festival, celebration, joyous gift giving, and wonderful food becomes the crisis of your year because you've been in a total environment in Bible school, and then you get to go home for just a week to show how much Christ is formed in you. And you come back, you know, pale faced, going, where's the cross? I just need to lay there and cry out for Christ to be formed in me. You know what I'm saying? We all know it if we're real. Come on. And the day that, you know, you have the Spirit of the Lamb towards your family is the day you do need to just start crying. Thank you, Jesus. You know, because you know that wasn't you. You know with every fiber of your being, it's not you. You didn't do that. It was Jesus. So, and I remember it was one of those Christmases. And I was just like, oh, snap. I need the Lord so much. That I'm not even going to, we had three stories in that house. It was in Pennsylvania. That's why I used my little Pennsylvania accent. And I'm like, I'm not going upstairs until just something needs to change inside the environment of my being before I go back up you know, and release the beast one more time, right? So I remember there was, it was a Whitney Houston song. I'm sorry, I'm just talking real. It was Psalm 116. This is completely not what I was going to share tonight, but all right, Psalm 116, let's go there. And the words to her song from her, she's a gospel singer, at one point in her life. So she's singing this gospel song. It was on the radio or something. And so the Lord just grabbed my heart. We're going to Psalm 116, I believe it is. 116. It is not 16. It is 116. I remember that. Okay, so, and the words to the song start out, I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow, but then I called upon the name of the Lord my God. I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the humble. I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. It's all past tense. The Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. He has delivered my soul from death. He has delivered my eyes from tears. He has delivered my feet from falling. And I'm going to walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. But now what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And I said, Lord, why are these eyes crying? Why is my soul in this place? I may be a mess, and I may have failed, and I may not be able to go upstairs and just prove that Jesus lives in me by showing fruit. But you have dealt bountifully with me. You died and made me one, and you have delivered me from this soul and from these eyes that cry and from this grip of hell that's going on inside my soul right now. And I am not going to forget any of your benefits. And if I can't offer up the lamb and my attitudes right now, I can give you a sacrifice of praise and forget not all that you have done to make me one. And I'm going to declare it in the midst of the congregation. And I just started singing that Whitney Houston song. I blasted it in the basement. They probably thought I was going crazy. But, you know, I was crazy for Jesus. And I was like, I love the Lord. And I just started crying. I love the Lord. He has remembered me. He has laden me with these benefits. All because why? He died and made me one in this place of barrenness, in this place of darkness, and unformedness, and entrapment by the enemy. This Lamb of God gave himself for the ungodly, that's me, to the uttermost and brought me in. And the Holy Spirit came. And he just was so excited. He started just filling my heart with the spirit of that cleft rock. I got inside that city of refuge called Christ Crucified and just breathed in that air and drank in that spirit and received abundance of grace through oneness and let the Lamb of God get back on the throne and start motivating me by oneness and not by my failures and not by my regrets and not by my eyes that wanted to cry and my soul that was ensnared like the gates of hell, and just got back with the Lord. I'll never forget that eternal moment, because it was more than a moment. It was reaching into his heart and saying, I'm with you. Right here, right now, in Christ wins. It wins the battle. It wins the war. I love the Lord. It didn't start out with, I need the Lord. That's the difference. I love the Lord. It's the difference. It was loving the beauty of the Lamb that just killed me, that got me. When I heard those words, I love the Lord. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice. He heard my voice. Why would he hear my voice when I'm that messed up? Why would he? Because I'm in him. I'm not a foreigner crying out from the uttermost parts of the earth saying, please help me, please just reach forth and get me out of this mess. He's saying, you're in me. I hear you. You're my bone and my flesh. I hear you. And I heard you before you cried and made you one and brought you in to the city of refuge. Your homework is to study all the cities of refuge. Just read about them. Read about them. I know Jason's going to love that because I already see it in his eyes. Yes. But yeah, I ran in there. I ran into the city of refuge and I was safe. But I wasn't just safe. I was brought into the most wonderful environment of love and oneness and sweetness because it's the Lamb, that cleft rock, cleft for us. Isn't it beautiful? I love the Lord. I love the Lord. So the foundation, even in that moment, went, where did it go back to? Where did the warfare turn to? Did it turn towards me trying to repair my bad attitudes? Fix my soul and make it nicer? Be guilty and repent and feel bad about how I failed everyone at Christmas? Where did the victory come from in that moment? Union with the Lamb, union with the Lamb, his reality, his world, his insides, inside the cleft rock, him that I'm in. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. From him is my expectation, and from him alone. Do you see how love does that? The enemy's like, I got you right here in my little hand. You're stuck. But the love of God, he made a way where there seemed to be no way. And he did it by giving himself unto death because he loved us and gave himself for us and made us one. So we go to a higher reality. And it's the reality of the heart of God, based on the death of Jesus. And we just go. We go boldly. We go past all our fears and all our crazy, awful, condemning thoughts and all the little rats running around in the cellar. Because I know we got them till Christ is formed. Maybe it's just me, but I sure enough had them. I went past all of them and said, I'm running into you. You just get so set on him that you don't care about anything else but getting back into union. And if union with him at that moment means believing I am in him and receiving the abundance of grace to call myself bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and abide until some fruit can come in its own time, his own time, I'm doing it. But I'm not just going to do it passively. I love the Lord. He hath heard my cry. I will not forget any of his benefits. I will sacrifice the sacrifice of praise. I will love back on you. Can that happen in Christ? You bet it can. You bet it can. You know, you can go, I don't know, the battles that I had, they were so boring. I know that the enemy was beating up on me, but you know, I just quoted the scriptures from Ephesians that I'm in Christ. I quoted them, and then I used my sense realm, spirit realm, sword of the spirit. I stood up and I said them. I made a sign, you know, and I stood there and nothing. It was boring, it was irritating, and I don't have any good thing to say about it. Well, you know, okay, you know, you can go to a military school and learn how to do the drill. You probably have the same experience. Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. Sit. Stand. Stand with the Lord. Say the word. There's a spirit in this. There's a heart in this. There's a union and an agreement and a faith that comes by joining into what's real in him from the heart. And holding on to that and say, you know, speaking. I'm not trying to speak in from his heart. Can we say it that way? We're not talking about faith. We're not talking about emotions. We're not talking about how we do it with presentation. But can we speak it from his heart and say what's real in him and not have a thought about what's real in us and what's going on in us and even our faith level or how we're doing it or not doing it? That's still us. We need to self-forget that. You don't even know you're in the room. He's in the room and you're in him. You know what I'm saying? And just start reaching into him, finding what's in his heart, and taking it, going in there with him, and making that your head, your word, your identity, your reality, and standing on it, and having done all, stand in the face of whatever comes within you and without you, and abide, and abide. And all of a sudden, the stuff that used to be so hard or difficult is another place to love him, another place to experience union with Christ. How does that sound? I mean, some of the best memories of your life maybe being when you had no fruit, you were in a land that was not yet sown, where nothing yet had grown, yet you went after me with all your heart. That's what Jeremiah chapter 2 says. And he's like, it was beautiful to me. And you didn't have any fruit to show me. You didn't have anything that could make you important or spiritual. You just had a heart that would say, I'm with you in a land that's me, that's not sown. Do you guys know the scripture? Jeremiah chapter 2. Let's read it for those who may not be familiar with it. And then I'm going to read a little bit from the bride book. Jeremiah chapter 2. It's chapter 2 in verse 2. Go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your espousals. And here it is. When you went after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown, Israel was holiness unto the Lord and the first fruit of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Can you see his heart there? You went after me in a land that was not sown, where nothing yet had grown, and yet this is holiness to me. This is, and it's something that he sees the heart. And you know, if we're approaching him because we feel fruitful and not barren and special and not a mess, then the basis of our acceptance in Christ is the basis of our works mentality. You know, we've earned it. How many don't want to earn the love of God? Just want to have, I mean, there's something intrinsic in man that doesn't want to have to earn love. Because you feel something's wrong if I have to earn it. You know what I mean? And how wonderful that God, at our worst, just loved us all the way to death. And says, abide in me. At your worst, I'll abide in you through the union of that oneness. But this love is not a love you can earn. It's not a love you can maintain. It's a love you receive by grace. It's an acceptance that you are found in the beloved based on what he did in his death. And so that takes us to Genesis, and that basis of his death has really got to be the starting point. And of course, it starts in type and shadow in Genesis, and that's where the Bride and Surgery book became like a manual to my heart. But it's the scriptures that are in there, and I'm just going to touch a few spots, and we won't probably deal with this for a couple weeks. But I want to begin with the verse in Genesis that it's kind of based on, and that's Genesis chapter 2. And it begins in verse 21, going to 23. And it says, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, out of that rib, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And here we see in type and shadow a picture of God bringing a new creation, the church, the body, the wife of Christ, out of Jesus through his death. But there's some points that I think we need to ponder, not here in a class and agree. That never helped me. But think about this. Think about this. Ponder this. So at this point in Genesis, the fall had not happened yet because Eve had not been created to eat the apple. and listen to the serpent. So obviously it's before the fall. So this death that Adam went into, which is a picture of and a shadow of Christ's death at the cross, this death that Adam went into had nothing to do with what? So what does that mean? In real life. What does that mean? Yes. Yeah, amen. That's perfect. Yeah, it's he's not relating to us the first, before the foundation of the world. There are scriptures that speak of this. We were in him. It was in his heart to bring us forth. That lamb was slain when? Before the foundation of the world. So it couldn't have been slain for sin before sin even happened, but there was something in the heart of the Godhead that wanted to go into this death to bring something forth out of the Son that would be him in us and us in him. We got to start there. If we start at sin, just go to another class because this class ain't going to work. Yeah, it's not in sin Christ, it's in Christ. Yeah, if your starting place is going to be the fall, then you will fail. Yeah, when you start fighting, the devil's going to play the sin card, or your carnal mind's going to play the sin card, and he's going to win. He's going to take all the money, he's going to take your sanity and all your peace, and he's going to run. But if you have that trump card called before the foundation of the world, boom, I'm laying my ace on the table. Yeah. And my ace is he wanted me in him before sin. Amen. Based on something that was in his heart, not related to sin. And guess what, devil? When I sinned, he died for that too so I could stay one. So you want to talk sin? I'm going to talk the heart of God in relation to going into that kind of death to maintain oneness. Through all my failures, another ace on the table. You got to play the right cards because the devil's no dummy. And he's been messing around with us kind of folks for a couple thousand years. He's been around the block a few times. He's got a few tricks. He kind of knows our tendencies. But he cannot defeat the truth as it is in Jesus and what's in God's heart and the reality of the cross as it is in God's heart, as the Holy Spirit enforces it in our earth, as it is in heaven. It needs to be in us, his earthen vessels. And it will happen when we know what's in the heavens of his heart. If we don't know that and we can't hold on to that and believe it in the face of, what about your sin? What about the sin card? What about the sin, the failure card? That's going to negate every... Because really, when you think his heart rejects you based on your failure, what do? You collapse, don't you? You just give up. Okay, beat on me, Satan. Okay, I'll go back to the world. But when you look at the scriptures in Genesis, the scriptures in Revelation, and throughout the whole Bible that testify that this death was preordained, was in God's eternal counsel before the foundation of the world, before sin and man were born, and even creation was made, you got a whole new platform to stand on, a whole new foundation upon which to hold fast. When the enemy rises like a flood, you have a standard. And that's the cross of Jesus Christ, not just based on his sin, but based on his eternal desire to have us after his own kind in oneness. And when you see his heart in those scriptures, then even if your mind forgets, how did that go? Something in your spirit, in your heart goes, I know this is real in him. I know it. I may not even be able to remember why, but I know it. And I'm not letting go of him. Forget the doctrine. I might not even remember the scripture, but I'm not letting go. He went into this death so that I could be brought into this through every storm and every failure. So that's Genesis chapter 2, 21 through 23. But let's read a little bit here. I'm just going to read those verses, but with a little different emphasis. And the emphasis this time is going to be on the operation of God. So this death that Adam went into was, in this book that the Lord gave Pastor Randy, likened unto an operation Well, of course, we see that here in the very word of God itself, likened unto an operation. So let's listen with those ears. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of the ribs out of Adam and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from the man, out from that he made a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She's going to be called out from man or woman because she's taken out from man. All right, we'll stop there. So Jesus underwent an operation, but this operation wasn't to remove cancer. It wasn't to remove something that needed to be taken out because it was negative. This was the operation of God. Amen. And it talks about in Colossians, doesn't it? The operation of God made without hands. Wow, what a great scripture to hold on to in faith in that work where God put his son into death or a deep sleep. You know how the surgeon will put you under the anesthesia when it's a deep surgery. And he opened up his son, he opened him up and he takes this rib that's right over his heart. And he takes it out, and that rib that was always over his heart and part of his infrastructure, is gone. And then he sews it back up, and that rib isn't there. Where is that rib? It's outside of him. What was inside of him is now outside of him. Who would know that more than anyone? The one who no longer has a rib. Who wouldn't know it as much as the one who has? She has no clue. What is her origin? Him. And where him? His hands? And where inside of him? Right over his heart. Oh my gosh. But she's walking up thinking, you're kind of cute. Where are you from? I'm from over there. I found, myself laying on a leaf about 2 feet down the road. I mean, I'm just talking. But she doesn't know where her origin is because she's all of a sudden here she is. And she's looking at him like, who are you? A man? Where? She doesn't know what's happened. It's like when we get born again. And we're born of incorruptible seed. We're born out from God. We're taken out from him. We're members of Jesus Christ. He's in us. We're in him. The scripture's all over the Bible. Look him up. Know him. But we don't really know what's happened. We don't know the operation of God. Now, Jesus bears the scars. He'll never be the same. But we don't know. We're clueless. We're clueless. And so, I guess her identity... Well, I don't know what my identity is. I don't know where my origin is. There's so much here. But she might look and say, maybe I'm part of the old creation. I'm part of the first 7 days. Maybe I was created from the dust, in the beasts and the firmament and all the things that God breathed and spoke into existence. Maybe I'm part of that first creation of the first 7 days. Maybe I was taken from the dirt like Adam. Maybe my origin is the earth and the first creation. The first man is of the earth, earthy. Doesn't it say that in the New Testament? Maybe I'm of that first man that is of the earth, earthy. Maybe I'm of that earthy creation that was just spoken into existence by God. And he's going, oh no. I rested after that one and said, why am I still alone? This is not good. I am alone. And all these stinking animals aren't. And it's upsetting me. I'm God. I created this incredible thing. All these animals are just as happy as larks, filling the earth abundantly. And here I sit. Adam as a type and shadow of the Lord's heart. Okay. And he's sitting there, and God, of course, in his supreme wisdom, says, name him. He's like, oh, great. Now I got to look at them all day and watch them be happy. There they are singing. They're doing their little mating dance. I don't know. It's making me sick. I'm alone.
You know, I hate this. Now look at another. Now, and look at these guys have like 4 kids already because they're way down the list. You're like, oh man, a happy family. Uh-huh. Here I sit, sad and blue. All I can say is boo-hoo-hoo. Why do I get the raw end of the deal? It's just type and shadow. Jesus doesn't have bad attitudes. I'm sure Adam did. You know, he's like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's looking at the monkey. He's like, you know, she's picking stuff out of his, doing his hair for him. They're even grooming each other. I got no one to groom me. Who's going to feed me? I got nothing here, you know. And he's getting lonelier and lonelier, and he's figuring it out. Maybe the thing that God's wanting him to figure out is not the names of the animals, but the loneliness of God's heart. Right? So he gets to a certain point. He's like, God's like, time for the operation, Bubba. It's time. Jesus said, if a corn of wheat doesn't fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. Greeks and Jews, I know you're coming after my teachings, but I'm lonely. You guys look like the monkeys and the, you know, giraffes and the goats. You're not after my kind. No matter how much we gibber and jabber about the deep things of God, I am lonely. I need something that's out of me. Spirit of my spirit, kind of my kind. I need me in her form. And I ain't getting it even with the Greeks who just came one verse earlier in John 12:23 or 2 or something like that. I need to die. For sin? He didn't say sin. A corn of wheat falleth in the ground. It has sin. Sins are gone. Holy perfection comes to all creation. Pristine living of ethical quality now takes over the universe. I abide alone. If I don't die, I abide alone. He's not going, oh, I see a creation with no sin anywhere. La-di-da-da. I'm going to die for my dream. Yeah, I'm lonely. I'm abiding alone. I'm going to die. And this is Adam in Genesis chapter 2. God says, I'm going to do something. I'm going to not do what I did in the first 7 days and just create things from dust and the earth. I'm going to create something out of you. A new creation. That's your rib. Holy God. Hallelujah and oh my. She walks up there dumb as a, like carnal as a stump. Who are you? Well, sure, I don't know. I'm from Dirtville down the road. Yeah, taken from old Red Clay City. Yeah, that's me. You know, here I am. Well, you're kind of cute. I don't know. We'll see what happens. He's like, oh, it's already happened, lady. You may be waiting to see what happens, but he hath delivered your tears, and he hath delivered you, and he hath and hath and hath. And if you knew half of it, you'd be singing Psalm 116, I love the Lord and will forget none of his benefits. But you don't know nothing yet, so that's okay. Devil's going to come on the scene, and it's going to be a little longer than we thought. But you know what? My heart ain't going to change, and my death isn't going to change, because you are still my rib. So you got to go on rib basis. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh basis. Not, how am I doing today? What do I feel like I am today? Do I feel like I'm from Red Clayville? Am I from Dirtville? How do I look in the mirror today? Do I look like a rib, or do I look like a carnal Christian, or maybe a great menace? Don't look at you. Look at him. You're his rib. How are you ever going to find out who you are by looking at you? Old things have what? All things have been and are of. For I am a new creation in Jesus Christ. Well, that takes on a whole new thing where from his heart. It's just stupid doctrines if it's not on the basis of this incredible thing God did. Planned before time, went into death to bring forth. And he's like, I got the scars. This is where we'll probably end. I got the scars to prove this operation happened. You know, you wonder why he still has those scars in eternity. He's like, this is the proof, lady. You may not know where these scars came from or this scar over my rib came from, but I know where it came from. It came from me going into death to bring you out of me. You are my bones. You are my body. What man hateth his own body, but nourisheth and cherisheth it and loveth it as himself.
These are the scriptures, Ephesians 5, again, speaking of Christ and his church. Hallelujah. When you start getting on God's ground, you start having victory in the battle, because he's already won that war. But on the basis of his undying and yes, dying love that was displayed and wrought on Calvary. And if it becomes where you were born, then that's your Calvary. That's your operation. Jesus didn't just go into death. You went into death with him. Have you ever thought that the scriptures were kind of dry? Where Jesus died, I died. It's a great deeper life doctrine. I better believe it or I'm in big trouble. Please don't tell anyone here. It feels a little empty, hollow. Man, when you see it from that view, where he died, I died, I was part. I'm the rib. That old thing was put away and a new creation came out of him, and that's who I am. Year zero. Calvary, year zero. There are crazy things come, movements in the earth that were corrupt and of evil origin, where they wanted everything to start at year zero so they could brainwash the children to do their bidding. Yeah, sorry, it's true. It's horrible. Don't need to worry about that. But yeah, but there's a good year zero. It's called Calvary, where everything, boom, whatever came before, done. Atomic bomb, whoosh. And now everything is new and of God in his world. When that death happened and destroyed the old creation, like with Noah, and a flood utterly destroyed the old earth. Is that not true? Does not Peter say that's what the cross does? Well, in God's view, that old world is gone. In our view, we look at the earth in the sense realm eyes and the carnal view, and we think it's all standing. It's not standing. A flood happened at the cross and washed away and cleansed the earth of the old creation. Our flesh, the first man. And a new creation came out of that ark, the ark of his death, the ark of his crucified body. And in that new creation, he had a bride after his kind. And it was new. And so the enemy or our carnal mind or our old viewpoint wants to always refer back to things that were before the flood, that were before our death, Calvary, before the operation. Why would we go back there? There's nothing to go back to. Now, y'all, thank you. That's not just teaching. You know, that's not just teaching. Why would we go back there? There's nothing there. More real than the flood of Noah's day. More real than an atomic bomb that took down a whole civilization. The cross ended it. What does that mean for us? It means what we used to be before Jesus came into our hearts is no longer who we are. We can never go back. We're not that person anymore. It was destroyed through his death. So you have the freedom to no longer identify in your past. Now, does anybody need that? How many people just want to make this a class and go around the block for another 40 years with your old junk about you? It's your fault if you do, because the Lord is here right now to help you. And I'm not going to share this 100 times with you. I'm not saying that about me. I mean, I will, because I probably will. You know me. But I shouldn't. I shouldn't. We should grab hold of his heart and just go, oh, I'm not letting go. Warfare. Let's do this. How many want to enter in? Amen. This is how. This is how. If we keep going back, you know why Lot's wife turned to salt? Kept looking back at who she used to be and what she used to have. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. There is nothing there. Quit looking back. It's gone. You are going to turn into a pillar of salt. Because you keep looking back. God's mean. No, he's not. He has a whole new creation in his son for you to live in. Quit crying and moaning and identifying with all the stuff he's destroyed in Sodom and Gomorrah. Your Sodom and Gomorrah flesh has been crucified with Christ. You don't have to turn back and look at it. You don't have to touch the dead body. You don't have to be defiled. You don't have to identify with it. You can go into the good land. I will, what did they say in Psalm 116? I will go into the land of the living and I will give the sacrifice of praise. Right now, right now, right now, when all this stuff's hitting me, right now, that's in Christ's warfare. That's in Christ's warfare. You do that enough, fruit's going to start forming on you. I'm telling you, you're going to be flooded. But you're going to do it in the unfruitful land of faith. You know, you're going to do it in love. And I am telling you, things can't but change. But at that point, you don't care if they change because you're with him. You're so with him, you don't care if the fruit shows up or not. You're just with the Lord, and that's the sweetest vine. You know, it's its own reward to be with him there. You don't need the victory march. He is it. He's your portion. And so this doesn't become a means to an end. It becomes the end itself, him. Just him every step of the way. I love the Lord. Isn't it beautiful? It's beautiful. So, well, let's pray and just keep meditating on Genesis and this new creation that we became in the operation of God to bring one out from him that would now be his bone and flesh. And we'll continue there next time, Lord willing. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the incredible story of your heart. Thank you for the reality of your desirings and the things you went through, the operation and death, to bring one out of you who may be clueless, but she's you. And nothing's going to change that, no matter what she goes through. She's out from you. Your death did that. And Lord, for those who are hungry and desperate enough, serious enough and in love enough, let these things translate well beyond the scriptures and the principles into union and victories and sweet communion and dancing with the timbrels and the flutes and, you know, oh, and the weeping at the feet and all that, which is simply being with you where you're at, not worrying about us, but being swallowed up into the beauty of the cleft rock, the wounded side, the beautiful and glorious Lamb of God who is now our groom, our origin, our kind, our substance. We are beyond words delighted to be found in you, not having our own righteousness. We throw it all away and we just take all of you instead and identify there and there alone. So be glorified, be blessed. And let these classes be like offerings of love, sacrifices of praise, and not just times of teaching, because we come with our hearts and not our minds. And it's in your beautiful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.